music. This is KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle.
CBS News. Left-wing guerrilla kidnappers have struck again, this time abducting the government-appointed head of Argentina's largest labor organization. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The kidnapping took place Sunday evening near the port city of La Plata, some 50 miles south of Buenos Aires. Eyewitnesses reported armed guerrillas in several cars snatched Colonel Juan Pita as he was driving away from the home of some relatives. Pita was appointed by the military government to oversee the Labor Union Federation when the junta ousted President Isabel Perón in a bloodless coup last March, then prohibited strikes and named military officers to supervise scores of labor organizations. Several active and retired military officers have been slain by leftist guerrillas since the coup, but PETA is the first to be kidnapped. There's been no official government confirmation of the kidnapping, nor is there any word on ransom demands. Earlier Sunday, Argentina's Third Army Corps announced its troops killed six left-wing guerrillas in a pair of gun battles in mountainous Tucumán province. Some 1,400 firefighters now have ringed a raging forest fire in California's Los Padres National Forest and believe they can anticipate controlling it within the next 24 hours. U.S. Forest Service Information Officer Ed Waldefell provides CBS News with the latest situation report.
This fire has burned more than 11,000 acres 20 miles southwest of King City, California. The fire, when it initially started, burned about 1,000 acres per hour because of the type of terrain that it was burning in and the type of fuel that was there. The firefighters have about a 15-mile line around the fire, of which they have completed 6 miles of line that is holding the fire at this time. And they are optimistic that by late Monday evening, they will have the fire contained.
The Los Padres National Forest is in the vicinity of Santa Barbara, California. Army officer boards Monday will continue their investigation into charges of cheating by more than 80 cadet members of the junior class at the U.S. Military Academy at West Point. But violations of the traditional honor code are said to be much more widespread than announced by West Point authorities. Details from CBS News correspondent Steve Young.
The Army Legal Office has been given lists by cadets implicating freshmen, sophomores, and even graduating seniors in cheating or other honor code violations. The juniors who compiled them say they want to show that violations are widespread because the code is unworkable. One of them, Peter DeRold, has been cleared of cheating charges.
You saw the list of all people who are under suspicion of some kind of honor code violation, cheating or otherwise. How many names would you say you saw that were checked off?
I'd say somewhere between 1,500 and 2,000, approximately.
A senior admitted to CBS News that he is guilty of cheating and said he knows 70 to 80 seniors set to graduate Wednesday, also guilty of what the code considers cheating. In an interview, the Military Academy's deputy superintendent said no alteration will be considered in the code, which states a cadet will not lie, steal, or cheat, or tolerate those offenses. But he said penalties less severe than the only one now provided, expulsion, might be considered for some offenses less serious than cheating. Steve Young, CBS News, West Point.
Three Democratic presidential candidates have gathered in Rhode Island for a verbal shootout in advance of this week's primaries, one of three that'll be held on Tuesday. South Dakota and Montana also are holding primaries. Frontrunner Jimmy Carter arrived in Providence last night and has scheduled participation in a Memorial Day parade and then will hold a news conference. Senator Frank Church and California's Governor Edmund Brown, Jr. have been in Rhode Island for several days waging vote-getting efforts. Church says Carter has come back to the small New England state because he's in trouble there and is constrained to wage an 11th-hour stumping effort. Time magazine reports that Carter has been talking with Alabama's Governor George Wallace about releasing his delegates, now totaling 168. Carter's press secretary, Jody Powell, denies the report. The magazine says Wallace is expected to release his delegates just before or just after the first ballot at the Democratic National Convention. Observers believe most will swing to Carter. CBS News continues following this message.
Here's Mother Teresa of Calcutta, whose sisters work with the sick, the dying, and the destitute of the world.
In India, we are taking care of nearly 46,000 lepers. We are now in 54 cities in India. We go to the people. All our work is going to the people.
Mother Teresa's sisters take care of the crippled and the unwanted. They have feeding centers and more, much of it due to the generosity of the American people.
I'm happy to have this opportunity to personally thank the people of the United States because we have been able to feed so many, to take care of so many. For us, Catholic Relief Service, the people of United States have been the divine providence.
Catholic Relief Services continues to assist Mother Teresa and her workers. Support CRS along with the U.S. Catholic Conference Office of Migration and Refugees, as well as other distinguished works of the American bishops through the American Catholic Overseas Aid Appeal.
A security alert was sounded Sunday at Mascot Airport in Sydney, Australia, when a pair of suspect mail bags emitted a high-pitched whine. Dogs trained to sniff out explosives reacted to the bags as if they could be dangerous, and authorities ordered the observation decks cleared. Bomb disposal specialists quickly got the bags out of the airport, then blasted them with shotgun fire. When the bags were opened, gingerly, it turned out they contained a consignment of burglar alarms and electric coils wrapped in wood shavings. They'd been unloaded from a British Airways plane en route from Britain to New Zealand. Mike Stanley, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The weather outlook calls for increasing chance of rain tomorrow and Tuesday. Highs near 60, lows about 45. And in downtown Seattle, 51 degrees, 50 at the airport. The barometer steady at 29.87. Taking a look at sports, the National Basketball Association Championship Series, Phoenix defeated Boston 105-98. The Suns trail the series 2-1. Major League Baseball activity today. In the National League, Los Angeles and Cincinnati divided a doubleheader. Houston took two from Atlanta. It was Pittsburgh over Chicago. Philadelphia dumped Montreal. St. Louis defeated the Mets, and San Diego beat San Francisco. In the American League, the Yankees over Detroit, Boston down Baltimore, Minnesota edged Texas, Milwaukee beat Cleveland. It was Kansas City over California, and the Chicago White Sox defeated the Oakland A's.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Tale of madness and murder for you. A story of greed, of evil, and strangely enough, a warm and rewarding love. Mix all these elements together, and the result, an exciting spellbinder. Greed is a frightening disease of the mind and spirit. It debases and cheapens all it touches. It cannot be satisfied. Indeed, it stimulates a desire for more and more. It is a mental sickness of civilization. It has no reason.
Welcome home, then.
Welcome home. Sorry I can't embrace you, my dear wife. But my arms seem to be tightly strapped to my sides.
Doctor, order your attendants to release him.
Mrs. Latham.
Release him.
Unstrap him, Fred.
That's better. Much better.
Now, will you all please leave so I may be alone with my husband?
Yes, yes, of course. Goodbye, Pam. Come in.
Now, aren't you happy to be home, Van?
Oh, yes. Happy. Very happy.
No, Van. No, stay away.
Our mystery drama, License to Kill, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sidney Sloan and stars Joan Loring and Larry Haynes. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Time Magazine. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
To the man who bought the Skyhawk, to the girl in the century, we're glad you like your Buicks, glad you set your spirit free.
And to the family from Ohio, to the folks up in St. Paul, nice to see you join us, nice to see you all.
There I was with my new Buick Skylark, and there he was, this
just coming out of the store with a new coffee table. I like your coffee table, I said. I was going to buy one just like it. Thank you, he said. I like your Buick Skylark, too. I was going to buy one just like it. Thank you, I answered. Then he suggested, listen, you like my coffee table and I like your Skylark. Why don't we get married? What can I say? I guess it was love at first, Buick.
It's nice to join us.
Dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
Electrical appliances are extremely useful time-saving aids. But without proper precautions, they can be instruments of destruction. In fact, government statistics show that 80% of all electrical appliance accidents are due to carelessness. Underwriters Laboratories consumer safety expert Janice Farr says there's an easy way you can help avoid contributing to that 80%.
That's right. I strongly recommend that you read and heed your appliance instruction booklets. Most booklets contain valuable safety tips, such as recommending that you unplug your portable appliance from the outlet when not in use, and that you not let the cord hang over the edge of a table or counter, or touch hot surfaces.
And to be extra safe,
it's a good idea to keep your instruction booklets in a convenient place for quick and easy reference. Remember, the instruction booklet is there, so why not use it?
This has been a public service announcement from Underwriters Laboratories and this station.
Mary Latham has driven a long way that day to visit her husband. And all through that long drive, there was one overwhelming and compelling thought in her mind. She must get him out of that place. The words mental institution were too repugnant for her to mention, even to think. She must get him out. It was the only way. She must do what she had secretly planned for over a year.
Van, will you look at me? I'm speaking to you. Turn around, dear. Face me, please.
No.
I thought you'd be glad to see me.
Yes.
Van?
Yes, I'm glad. Glad to see you.
Do you know why I've come?
Is it rainy?
Why, yes, it is.
Why do you always come to see me when it rains?
That isn't so, Van.
Oh, yes. Rainy days, you come. It always rains when you come.
Would you rather I didn't come, Van?
Yes. Yes, don't come.
You don't mean that. You know I want to do everything I can for you.
You want to do everything you can to get my money.
That's unfair.
Unfair? I remember you think I'm so mixed up in my head that I don't remember. You tried every way you could to get control of the estate, but you failed.
Please, Van, you're wrong.
Wrong? I was wrong to marry you.
Don't say that. You know I could have divorced you when...
When I was... Put away. Don't think you're protecting my feelings. I know I'm insane. You've told me. The doctors all agree. Hopelessly insane. Locked up for life. Go away, Mary. Go away. Leave me in peace.
Would you like to come out?
What do you mean, come out?
In my custody. I'll take responsibility.
Responsibility? You?
I want to take care of you. I think you'll be happier out.
Out? Exchanging one cell for another. What'll you do? Have guards posted? Male nurses around the clock to watch me?
No, you'll have attendants, but not guards.
You'd be taking a big risk, Mary. I tried to kill you once.
I'll take the risk.
And almost succeeded.
I'll take the risk.
Well, I can't help but admire your courage, Mrs. Latham. But I don't know that I can go along with your plans.
Van isn't getting any better here, Doctor. It's my impression he's getting worse.
Reports from his therapist confirm...
Wouldn't he have a better chance in a more normal environment?
My dear Mrs. Latham, let me lay out the facts for you. Your husband came to me in a very serious condition. He was dangerous to society and dangerous to himself. He displayed all the pathological symptoms of an acute paranoid. Mr. Latham is a potential hazard. A latent time bomb. The least little spark could cause an explosion.
I've heard all this from you and others before. I still feel that I could help him regain his foothold. Bring him back. I know he can become again the man I loved and married.
I'm afraid you've got some romantic idea in your head.
Some romantic idea, as you call it. Things can be done with love to heal him where all the medical science of the world fails.
I see. Well, I must tell you that I shall oppose your plans. Mr. Latham will not leave this hospital if I can help it.
Oh, well, back so soon. Come on, get in. Well, how'd it go?
The way I expected it would. No good.
Oh, well, what's your next move, baby?
Start the car and let's get out of here. This asylum atmosphere has me depressed enough already.
Sure. Well, you're in there a long time.
I had to make it look good. I had to spend a little time with Van.
Still catching those imaginary birds in his room, huh?
No change. Worse than ever, I think. The doctor tells me he's fine, just fine, but...
Yeah, but they won't unlock the door of the padded cell, right?
Will, you're not funny.
Well, I'm sorry, baby.
I knew it wasn't going to be easy getting him out.
Well, frankly, I think you're looking for trouble. We're happy, aren't we? I mean, having him behind those strong, heavy institution doors is great with me, so why can't we go on as we have been?
Don't play stupid, Willie. You know why I have to get him out.
Come in.
Hello, Mr. Rossiter.
Oh, Mrs. Latham. Sorry if I've kept you waiting. My secretary...
Quite all right, Mr. Rossiter. I didn't mind.
Good. Sit down, won't you? How can I help you?
I saw Van Saturday.
Oh? Well, how is the poor boy?
Not good. In fact, I think the place, the home, is making him worse.
Oh, dear. I am sorry to hear that. It's disheartening to think of him there, locked up like some wild creature or animal. I was hoping you might have good news.
Maybe I have.
Yes?
But I'll need your help.
Well, my dear woman, you may count on me to give you all the help you need.
Mr. Rossiter, I propose to get him out.
Out? Oh, well, do you think that wise if, as you say, his trouble is worse?
I intend to take him home where he belongs and take care of him, bring him back to our world.
Well, Van is a dangerous psychopath. The doctors all agree.
I can manage him.
Well, have you forgotten that
he... tried to kill me, no.
Mrs. Latham, may I ask why you want to do this?
Why? Because I love him. And I want him back with me. Hello?
Mrs. Latham, this is Charles Rossiter.
Oh, yes, Mr. Rossiter.
About that matter of obtaining, about Van's coming home.
Yes.
I went to the hospital yesterday.
You what?
Yes, I went to the hospital yesterday to
see... Why?
Why? Well, for several reasons.
Mr. Rossiter, I can see no reason for you to visit my husband.
But when I saw you in my office, you said you wanted his release.
I can't see how your visit would facilitate that, Mr. Rossiter.
Well, I felt it my duty as his attorney, and more than that, as his old friend.
I still think you took more on your shoulders than I had requested.
Yes, I see. But please, listen to me.
Go ahead.
I spoke with Van.
Yes?
He doesn't want to come home.
I know what's best for him.
And I spoke to his doctor, too.
And he's opposed to it.
Yes, strongly opposed.
Mr. Rossiter, you are my attorney. You are working for me. I told you what I wanted. I asked you to prepare papers. I did not ask you for your personal feelings in the matter.
Well, I shall do whatever you think best.
Good.
But I must warn you. Van says that if he gets the chance, he will kill you.
You'll have to get your things and clear out of the house for a while, Willie.
Clear out?
They're bringing him home today, and I don't want you around when that happens.
You know something, Mary? You should be in the institution. I think you need psychiatric help as much as he does.
Oh, really?
Yes. Oh, this whole idea is crazy. You know he's dangerous. You don't love him. So what reasons do you have to take the risk?
It's all very simple to understand. I've told you before. It's a little matter of money.
Yes, but you've got plenty of money. It's enough for both of us.
Enough for you, Willie. You have modest tastes. But I feel like a child on a strict allowance, and I hate it. All of Van's money was put in trust for him by his parents before we were married.
Did you know about his mental condition when you were married?
Of course I knew. His father told me about him. However, it was thought to be a mild and temporary condition at the time. It was only after we were married that the condition worsened.
Mary, but what money was there? You knew what to expect. The real money was locked up in a trust.
I thought that after I was married to Van, and especially after he became violently psychotic, that I could have the trust set aside and the money put into my hands to administer as I saw fit.
No go, huh?
No go, unless he should die. Do you understand, Willie? Unless he should die. Oh, doctor, where's my husband?
He's here. Waiting in the car. May I speak to you for a moment?
Come in. Come in. Well?
You've won, Mrs. Latham. Your husband is being returned. He's waiting outside.
So you've said. Why not let him come into his home?
It was necessary to bring two attendants with you, Mrs. Latham.
Regulations?
No, it was necessary to control him. You brought him to you under restraint.
I don't believe that's necessary. I saw him a week or two ago. He was quite calm, under control.
This is no longer the case. Despite the fact that he's under heavy sedation, he resisted violently when told where he was going. Now, do you have the proper staff to take care of him?
Please don't concern yourself, Doctor. I can manage.
The two men I have with me are trained psychiatric nurses.
I will have no need for them.
I urge you to keep them with you until he becomes accustomed to his surroundings.
Doctor, this is his home. He is accustomed. He is familiar with it. There will be no problem.
Very well. I'll have him brought in. Fred, Ralph, bring him in. I hope you won't regret this.
Really, Doctor, I find this conversation tedious and unproductive.
Well, my dear wife, so nice of you to invite me.
Welcome home, Ben.
Welcome home. That has a familiar ring. Sorry I can't embrace you, but my arms seem to be strapped tightly to my side.
Doctor, order your attendants to release him.
Mrs. Latham.
Release him.
Unstrap him, Fred.
Mm-hmm. That's better. Much better.
Now, may I ask you all to leave so I can be alone with my husband?
Yes, of course, Mrs. Latham. Goodbye, Van. Come in.
Well, Van. Aren't you happy to be home?
Oh, yes, Mary. Very happy. Very happy.
No. Ben. No. Stay away.
Latham may have opened the legendary Pandora's box. It isn't going to be quite as simple as she had envisioned it. In her lust for money, Mary has overlooked the danger of turning a homicidal paranoid loose. I'll be back in a moment with Act Two of our story.
You have a good eye for antiques,
sir. Thank you, and here's a check made out to your shop for $1,400.
And enjoy your farthing cramp, sir.
Right. Do all the drawers work in it, by the way?
Oh, sure. See,
oh,
they
wait
all
a minute.
Work.
What's this?
Oh, it's my special new bicentennial issue of Time magazine. I forgot I hid it in there.
Oh.
This one is mine, of course.
What a find. Look, Congress signs Bill of Rights. Washington chooses cabinet, sets up a Supreme Court.
There's a newsstand across the street where you could...
Time has done it again. Covered the new country and the world the way it was in 1789.
This new bicentennial Time issue is really going fast. As soon as I cramp your farthing crate, you should run right out.
Look, in medicine, King George III regains his sanity.
See, I'd let you have this one, of course, but I ran out and got one early, so it's mine and does not belong to the owner of the farthing cramp chest, of course.
Then I don't want this $1,400 farthing cramp, of course.
Let me put this Time magazine right back in the drawer where its new owner found it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't miss Time magazine's special bicentennial issue for the week our country was invented. It's the one with George Washington on the cover.
Cancer hasn't stopped 1.5 million Americans from living full, active lives. One of them is golf champion Gene Littler.
You really never know how many friends you have until something like this comes about. People write me now that have the same problem, and I write back to them and try to give them a little bit of a boost. And hopefully this is a help to them. And this is one reason that I want to continue on the tour and play well, because I think that I can be, in some small way, an inspiration to a lot of people that are afflicted with this disease, and I think that I can be of some help.
Gene Littler, a real champion. This is Jose Ferrer. Join him and join me in fighting cancer. Give generously to your American Cancer Society.
With a little bit of hard work, a lot of support from your family, and a lot of faith in God, why, anything's possible.
We want to wipe out cancer in your lifetime.
Mary Latham was a headstrong, compulsive woman who had to have her own way in everything. But she was beginning to wonder if perhaps she had reached out too far in her nefarious scheme to get her hands on her husband's money. Van, she discovered, despite his mental illness, will not be so easy to handle. The future course of her actions is still cloudy and ill-defined, but there is danger there, whether or not she knows it.
Where have you been? I've been trying to reach you all evening. Didn't they give you my messages?
Well, this isn't the Ritz, Mary. It surprised me to find out they've even got a switchboard in this flea bag. What's up? What's up?
I want you to come here right away.
Well, it's nearly midnight.
I want you to come. It's urgent. I can't talk to you over the phone. Hurry.
Oh, sure. I'll be there in 20 minutes.
It was frightening. He started to laugh, and then he lunged at me. If he could have caught me, he would have strangled me. He fell, crashed through the glass table, smashed the lamp.
Yeah?
He didn't get up. He just lay there. He was heavily sedated when they brought him here. It may have just caught up with him when he lunged at me.
Wow, well, the place sure looks like a tornado hit it.
Oh.
Where is he now?
In there. I dragged him in and locked the door.
Can he get out?
Easily, through the window.
Easily? Well, if you can't hold on to him, don't you think you should call the police?
No.
But I... Mary, this isn't a game. That guy in there is dangerous. Now, when that sedative wears off...
Listen to me.
I don't get it. Look at you. You got a nasty cut in your forehead. You've nearly been strangled.
It's all to the good. It's evidence for the police. I want him to escape. I want the police to hunt him down. I know Van. He won't give up. If they think he's dangerous, if he puts up too much of a fight... He may be shot.
Oh, well, there's a lot of this there, baby. Now, and I'll give you another. If they catch him alive and healthy, you'll never get another chance at it.
Are you suggesting we do it here? Now?
What? Huh? Well, what are you saying? Now, look, I don't want to get mixed up in any murder.
You wouldn't run away, would you, Willie? I was only testing you. A first idea is best. Let the police do it.
That's the window in the next room. He's gotten out.
Good. I'll give him an hour's start and then report it to the police.
What are you tearing your dress for?
Making it look good. I've got to put on a show. The man is dangerous, officer. Homicidal. It was all my fault. I thought that bringing him home, giving him my love and kindness would cure him. Bring him back to the real world. I see now how wrong I've been. That's not bad, huh, Willie?
Who's in there? Now, speak up, whoever you are, huh? I got a 12-gauge shotgun in my hands, but I know how to use it. You come out of there and you won't be hurt. see here, I know you're in there. My hens don't like strangers. Now you come out and come out quick.
Cold. Cold outside. I went in there to get warm.
Well, you sure are a sight for sore eyes, mister. Why, you're all tore up. You've been bleeding. Been in some kind of auto accident?
No. Fell down.
Oh, come on in the house. And what you need's a good meal and some eggs and bacon and a cup of hot coffee. Does that sound good?
Yes. I am hungry.
You want another cup of coffee, mister?
Oh, no, thank you. I've had enough. It was all very good. I was very hungry. I'm very grateful.
Well, don't mention it.
I'd like to pay you.
For what?
Your kindness, your generosity.
Oh, no, that'd spoil it, young man. Now tell me, what kind of plans do you have? You going back to your folks, your family?
No.
Now, you don't fool an old lady like me, you know. I've been around too long. You're running away.
Yes.
Who from? The police? You escaped from jail?
No.
Why are you running?
I can't tell you. You might not want me to stay here if I told you, and I want to stay.
Oh, now look here, young man. I'm all alone in this house, and I'm an old lady, and I don't know.
I'll work for you, for my keep. I need the time. You see, it'll only be for a little while until I can get myself together.
Well, if you're going to be working for me, you better get your rest. Now, your room is the last one on the right. Bed's all made. Good night.
Well, there you are at last. Come on, get in. Well, you kept me waiting for nearly a half hour.
I'm sorry, Willie, but I had so many things to do.
Why are we always driving around in a car? Why are we always meeting on street corners?
The house is surrounded by the police. How would it look if they saw you coming in and going out at all hours of the day and night?
Yeah. I saw your sob story in the paper this morning.
Ah, sincere, wasn't it?
And I only wanted to do what I thought was best for Van. I loved him, and I wanted to cure him with my love.
Whew.
Aren't you overdoing it?
Don't you see? I've got to establish myself as a foolish but loving wife.
Mm.
I even wrote a long and tearful letter of apology to the doctor.
Yes, I know. You sent a copy to the papers, too. I read it.
Say, what time is it?
Huh? Oh, it's a few minutes after 7.
The doctor, Van's doctor, is on the news. Turn on the radio.
In answer to a criticism made of my policies, I want to state here and now that I oppose releasing my patient, Van Lathan. An order was obtained in the courts forcing me to release him. I have a letter here from Mrs. Lathan, who is responsible for this dangerous situation, apologizing for her act. I will say that it was all done without thought as to the consequences, which are serious. A madman is loose in our city, a dangerous paranoid. He may look harmless, but I assure you he's a killer.
That's what I want to hear, Doc.
If you see this man, you will find pictures of him in your local papers. Do not try to apprehend him yourself. I repeat, do not try to apprehend him yourself.
Think anyone would
call
after
the police.
That?
Please, Mary.
A special number has been set up. It is 555-2323. I repeat, call 555-2323. The police have been armed with darts containing an almost instantaneous tranquilizer. It is painless and humane.
Shut him off.
And will render the man unconscious.
I don't like that.
Why not?
I don't want him knocked out with tranquilizers. I want him shot down.
Hey, you, fella.
Calling me?
Yeah. Come here, I want to talk to you.
Well, I thought I'd chop a little wood for the fire.
Uh-huh, nice job you're doing. Now, I got something to talk over with you.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, first, you got to stop calling me ma'am. Everybody around these parts been calling me Gammy for years.
Yes.
And now I got to tell you something else. A postman brought me the Gazette this morning.
I know. I saw.
Well, that's your picture, ain't it? Right there on the front page.
That's my picture.
Says you're a dangerous man.
I am.
Didn't think you'd admit that. That proves to me you're an honest man, Mr. Latham.
There's a reward. $5,000.
Yeah. So I read. Offered by your wife. She must like you real bad to offer that kind of money.
Oh, no.
You don't want to go? Go home?
No. I found more peace, more kindness, more warmth here than I've known in my life. I feel like I'm getting well here.
That's so.
Now, you can call the police or turn me in. I won't fight you.
Turn you in? What for?
$5,000 is a lot of money. You could use that, I know.
Oh, that's silly nonsense. I wouldn't think of it. I wouldn't even consider it. Not for a minute. Hello?
Mrs. Latham?
Yes?
This is Dr. Harrington calling, Mr. Latham's doctor.
I recognize your voice, doctor.
The reason for this call, I see that you have offered $5,000 for the apprehension of your husband.
Don't you think that's enough?
I think you shouldn't have offered it at all.
Oh, indeed.
Don't you realize what you're doing? This is a matter for professionals, the police. You're encouraging ordinary people to hunt for him.
And what's wrong in that, doctor?
Your husband is a dangerous man. You know what can happen if he's seen and an attempt is made to capture him.
What would happen, doctor?
Why, it might result in serious injury or death.
To whom?
To the individual trying to make the capture, or to Mr. Latham, if the individual is armed.
Oh, dear, I didn't realize that...
Then you'll withdraw the $5,000 reward.
Yes, I shall. I will make it $10,000.
What?
If he is so dangerous, wouldn't it be fair to make the compensation higher? To make the risk more worthwhile, Doctor?
Why, you...
Now, Van, you're sure you want to do it?
I'm sure, Gammy.
I drive into town myself, except my arthritis is kicking up.
Oh, I'll go.
And if we wasn't out of feed for the chickens... Well, in them old clothes that belong to my son Jonathan, nobody'd know you was Mr. Van Lee. Well,
with the beard I've grown in the last week or so, nobody will recognize me.
That's for sure. Okay, now watch yourself with the old pickup. She's a little tricky in second gear. Sticks sometimes. And you just get out and kick it. That works every time.
I'll remember.
Take care, boy.
Good morning. What can I do for you?
I want 50 pounds of chicken feed.
50 pounds? Here you are. Cash or charge?
Charge. To Gammy. Mrs. Harry Anson.
Sure. Gammy, huh? You working for her? Stand right here.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know Gammy could afford a hired man.
Oh, she can.
That's her old pickup out there, ain't it? Front of the store?
That's right.
She comes in herself.
Well, she, has arthritis.
Yeah? Too bad. You want some help with the feed, getting it into the car?
Oh, no, it isn't heavy. I can manage.
I just thought. I got a package for Gammy. Come in about 3-4 days ago. Sent out a notice to her. She get it?
She didn't say.
You might well take it along, save yourself an extra trip. You want to wait a second?
Very well.
Put the feed back at the counter. Yeah. Be right with you. Mabel? Sheriff in? Get him on the phone, quick. Charlie? Ed, look. You know that crazy guy they're looking for? It's in all the papers. Name's Latham. Well, he just walked into my store, recognized him from the picture in the paper, bought some chicken feed. Huh? Keep him here? Well, how soon? Make it quick. And there's a $10,000 reward. We'll split, Charlie. 50-50. Now, make it fast. Had a little trouble finding the package, mister.
Oh, I could have gone along without it.
Don't make a move, mister. I've got you covered. I'm taking no chances with you. One move and I'll let you have it.
What are you doing?
Now, stand there. Stay back or I'll shoot. I'll kill you if you... Let go of me. Sheriff will be here. He'll live. You shot me.
Thank you.
had finally happened. Death, which has hung over everything like a bird of prey, has struck suddenly and disastrously. Van is no longer an escaped patient from a mental institution. He is now a hunted killer. The concern an average man might feel for a sick person had been replaced by panic and fear. Now society was menaced, and the first thought is to destroy the thing that frightened and menaced it. I'll be back in a moment with Act Three.
Nightline, you're on the air.
About the caller who talks to her plants?
Yes.
She should plant her garden at the library.
Uh-huh.
Learning Swahili will not help her grow an African violet.
That's good advice.
And the caller who's looking for a new job?
Oh, yeah.
She should go to the library for job information.
The library.
She should have never lost her old one.
Well, I agree.
You just don't take off work for Robert Redford's birthday.
No.
I mean, that isn't a national holiday.
You're right.
The library could have told her that.
Absolutely.
And finally, the caller who botched up his vacation?
Oh, yes.
Always plan a trip at the library first.
That was a shame.
I mean, he should have been suspicious of any travel ad that reads 8 days and only 4 nights.
Oh, you're right, yes.
You know, the library has some great new services for everyone, from general information and referral to concerts and puppet shows.
Well, thank you for calling, Nightline.
Now, I have a problem.
Oh?
You see, I'm at the library right now.
At 3 a.m.?
Well, they said it was closing time, but I started tracing my family tree, and I forgot to look at the clock.
The library. Come see what's new, besides books.
If there's a locksmith listening, I'd really appreciate it.
We'll see what we can do.
A public service message from the American Library Association.
The great and powerful wizard invites you to step forward and be heard.
Yes, well, Your Excellency, you remember how you gave the Scarecrow a brain and the Tin Man a heart?
Of course I remember. You don't forget a thing like that overnight, you know.
Yes, well, I'm here for a long
time. Hello?
I'll take two if you'd rather not break up the set.
And what's wrong with the ones you've got?
Shot.
What?
From breathing dirty air and...
Well?
Smoking cigarettes.
Cigarettes?
Mm-hmm.
You mean you allowed a pair of perfectly productive pink lungs to be pervaded by the perils of puffing?
Yes, Your Omnipotence.
In that case, my ignominious ingrate, you don't deserve to have your wish granted.
Oh, but Your Highness...
The great Nas has spoken.
The great who?
I said, Nas has spoken. That's what you get for smoking. On you, I wouldn't waste my wizarding.
Yes, but...
If you wanted healthy lungs, you should have learned when you were young to observe my signs that say...
Yes?
Nasmo King.
Nasmo...
Oh. This reminder from your lung association is a matter of life and breath.
It was greed that prompted the offer of reward for the capture of Van Latham. And it was greed that prompted Ed Bowers to attempt the capture of the hunted man. How much more tragedy can be squeezed from Mary Latham's selfish offer? Time is running out. The hourglass has only a few grains of sand left. The evil has festered and must break open in final violence.
6-3, Willie. Not a very good throw. Looks like you're going to have to leave two blots.
My luck. I'm no good at backgammon, Mary. I can't throw the right numbers.
Oh, that's the complaint of all poor players. It's skill, not luck, that makes the difference. I double.
Well, I drop. I won't take the double.
That's $4.40 you owe me.
What difference does it make, huh? It's all your money.
Oh, that's right. You can't lose if you do lose.
Oh, you sure know how to make a person feel good, don't you, dear?
Oh, come on. Set up the board. I'll play you another game.
No, I'm tired. I don't want to play.
Tired of backgammon or tired of me?
No, Mary. Not tired, just weary.
Oh, yes?
Yes, all this business about your husband. You trying to get control of his money no matter how you do it.
And that wearies you, dear? Money wearies you?
No, but I'm not... Well, I'm not up to you. I haven't got your single-mindedness, your drive to get what you want. I like a more relaxed life.
Are you trying to tell me something, Willie?
Well, Mary, listen.
I'm listening. Go ahead. Oh, the phone, wait. Hello? Who? Oh! Yes, Lieutenant... Yes? Oh, that's horrible. And he, my husband, is he all right? Where did all this happen? Upstate. Yes, I understand, but if you can take him alive, I know you will exert every effort to do so, but... Yes, I know. You must consider the safety of your men. Yes. Oh, yes, I will pay it. Thank you for calling, Lieutenant. He's done it. He's finally done it.
What happened?
Van's killed a man. Post office feed store in a little town upstate. The man recognized Van from the pictures in the papers. Tried to stop him with a shotgun. Van wrestled the gun out of the man's hands and blasted him.
A man's been killed?
Yes. Don't you see what that means? Now the police won't hesitate to shoot.
What? And you engineered it all, Mary.
That's right. Now the police will do my work for me. You know what the lieutenant said to me on the phone? He asked me if the reward was still good if they had to shoot Van.
And you said yes.
Of course. It won't be long now. He said that almost the entire state police force was on this case.
Suppose he comes here. Suppose he comes here to kill you. I think you're number one on his list.
Let him come. See this, Willie?
Revolver.
And I have a permit for it, too.
So if the police don't get him, you will.
Oh, I expect they'll beat me to it. This house will be under constant surveillance inside of an hour.
If the police get to him first, that'll spoil things a bit for you, won't it?
I don't know if I like the sound of that remark, Willie boy. What's boiling in that little brain of yours?
Nothing. Nothing. Just making a joke. I wouldn't do anything or say anything to upset you, don't you, Mary? Well, at least not when you've got a gun in your hand.
Who's there?
Van.
Oh, you poor boy. Well, now, come in. Come in.
I've been hiding out in the woods all day. I had to ditch your pickup.
Oh, the police brought it back to me.
They've been here then, huh?
Been and gone. I said I didn't know who you was. Just a hobo looking for some work and for a place to put his head.
Yes, that's a pretty accurate description of me, Gammy. Looking for a place to put my head.
Oh, you must be weary and hungry. Can I get you something?
No. I can't stay. Get you into trouble. I had to come back and thank you and tell you how much you've done for me.
Oh, it wasn't much. I ain't got much.
Oh, you've got more. You've done more for me.
Oh, my boy, I feel like you was one of my own kin.
Well, that's what I've been trying to say. These few days here with you have done more for me than all the doctors I've known in my life. More than all the treatment in all the hospitals.
Are you going to give yourself up, Van?
No. No, I can't.
They'll kill you and you don't. They'll shoot you down just to collect that reward. They'll get you dead or alive. Now that Ed Bowers is dead...
Well, I didn't want to kill him, Gammy. It was an accident. He threatened me with a gun. We wrestled and the gun went off. I didn't want to hurt him. I just wanted to be left alone.
Oh, I believe you, but they won't. You got to give yourself up. So they won't kill you.
I wonder if it matters.
It matters to me, Van.
All right. If you want me to, Gammy, I'll give myself up.
Oh, I do. And who knows... Maybe they'll let you come out someday and we can see each other again.
Yes, Lieutenant. Yes, I know you will. Yes. Thank you. Goodbye. The police have reason to believe he's still somewhere upstate.
Yeah, running for Canada.
Probably. They say that the Canadian border patrols have been alerted to be on the lookout.
Ah, just like an old movie, eh? Well, I can see it now. Snow falling, wilderness, Royal Northwest Mounties.
Very funny. I wish you'd lay off the bottle. You're drinking too much and you don't make sense most of the time.
Well, that's my excuse. What's yours?
Well, I'm bored with your company. Will you go home?
Home is where the heart is, haven't you heard?
You're drunk, and I don't want to continue this stupid conversation. Go back to your hotel.
Never. Hey, what do you think I am? Think I'd leave with this danger? Just what do you take me for?
There's no danger. The police say they don't believe there's any chance of his coming back here.
Yes, but the police have been known to be wrong. Suppose Van comes back here?
I don't need you to protect me from him.
Oh, I know, I know. But who's going to protect him from you?
Hello?
Mrs. Latham, this is Cooper Harrington, your husband's doctor.
Yes, doctor.
I've heard on the radio and television that they're searching for your husband upstate.
Yes?
I don't believe he will try to run away. I believe he will come there to you.
Oh?
I know him very well. I know how his mind will work. He has it in his mind to kill you. All our tests, analyses, hypnosis have revealed this one strong, abiding hatred for you. Now, it is my opinion...
What are you worried about, Doctor?
Frankly, I'm worried about my patient. That bounty you've put on his head...
You don't approve.
It's a license to kill. It makes killing profitable. He'll be shot down.
Perhaps. But after all, he is a killer. He's killed a man.
I am only his doctor, not his judge.
And you're not concerned with the safety of other people. You're not concerned that he will try to kill me.
Of course I am, but...
I don't wish to continue this, doctor. I feel the entire problem is in competent hands. I am not the least bit worried. Thank you for your interest.
Yeah. Is the doctor worried about you?
No. About his patient.
Oh. Well, I guess there's not going to be any excitement here tonight.
Why?
Oh, I was looking out the window while you were on the phone. You know that squad car with the two cops who've been outside the last few days guarding the house?
Hmm?
They're gone.
Then the police must have captured him, or...
Oh, better still. Knocked him off and guaranteed your inheritance, right?
Oh, I have a number to call for information. The lieutenant gave it to me.
Put down the phone, Mary. Put it down. I'm not here to hurt you.
Why? No, Van. Why should you hurt me?
I'm going to give myself up to the police.
Give yourself up? Oh, do you think that wise, Van? You've killed a man.
I didn't want to. That was an accident.
That doesn't matter. They think you're a killer. You've got to run away. I'll help you. I'll get money to you. I've got money ready for you now in this drawer. You've got to run.
If you believe that, Latham, you're really crazy.
What?
Shut up, Will. Van, believe me, you've got to get away.
Don't run. You're dead if you run. You hear me? She wants to see you dead to get your money.
Shut up, you!
No.
Don't.
Mary, no, you wouldn't. You...
Don't.
You shot him.
Stand back, Van. Stand back.
Why? Or... Why? He wanted to help
Keep
me.
Keep back.
Give me that gun.
No.
Give it to me. Give it. Oh. 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 Why did you do that?
Hello, Lieutenant. This is Mary Latham. My husband came here, attacked me. I had to shoot him. A stray bullet hit an innocent person.
I wish to make the following statement, knowing that I haven't long to live. Mary Latham shot me because I wanted to warn her husband that she intended to kill him for his money.
Mind if I sit next to you, Mr. Rossiter?
No, no, doctor. Sit down. It's a sad occasion, isn't it? You were his doctor, weren't you?
Yes, for several years until... Well, why go into that?
You know, I like to remember Van as a small boy when I first knew him. Pleasant. He was a happy, friendly youngster.
I was just thinking that it's rather a small gathering to say farewell to Van Latham.
Yes. Had no family left. Just her.
She's not here today. I think the authorities have a fairly tight case against her.
Mm-hmm. Well, that statement made by that associate of hers... Yes, I would say that the state will have no problems.
Rather sad that Van is going to his final resting place. Only his doctor and his
His old attorney are the only ones to see him off.
I noticed someone else when I came into the chapel, sitting in the last pew. An old woman, sitting all alone. She was crying.
And so the comedy is over. Three men have died, and the woman whose desire for money lighted the fire that consumed the men will face a jury of her peers to account for her actions. Greed is an evil hunger that feeds on its own appetite and can never be satiated. I'll be back in a moment.
Wheels are ever spinning, shining spokes are catching sun. There are people seeking nature, seeking help and seeking fun.
Last year, over 15 million new bicycles were sold in the United States, and over 70 million are now in use. Studies show that the leading causes of bicycle accidents are loss of control, mechanical and structural problems, and the entanglement of foreign objects in the wheels. So, make sure your bicycle meets the new safety standard.
So cycle up, America, a catchment of being told. There's a life that is riding on every bike.
For more information, ride bicycles, Washington, D.C., 20207, the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission.
The little old woman sat in the back of the chapel and wept for her adopted son, whom she knew for only a moment, and for whom she would grieve the rest of her life. Perhaps Van had known and rejoiced in that moment of peace and love. Perhaps the first and only love he had ever known. The only peace. Our cast included Joan Loring, Larry Haynes, Earl Hammond, Sid Sloan, and Mary Jane Higby. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
You just keep on driving down to Furnace Creek, and then I'll tell you how to swing off to where we're going.
But where are we going?
Well, we're going back to Bone Dry Gulch to see if I can meet up with the first Despog. The one I was telling you about? Near as I can figure, my great-great-grandfather.
But that's four generations. He'd have to be dead for nearly 100 years.
Now, see, Miss Schoolmarm, that's something I come a long ways to make real sure of. And if I can fix it right, I'm going to make certain sure he did die, good and proper. So I could never have been. You just keep on driving, ma'am. Unless you want to join the both of us.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Time Magazine and Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
beautiful music. This is KIXI, Seattle.
News. Martha Mitchell's life signs are being closely monitored in the New York City hospital, where she is reported in critical condition. I'm Rita Sands reporting on the CBS radio network. Mrs. Mitchell was rushed to the hospital unconscious, suffering complications from bone cancer. She was released from the same hospital 2 months ago, and since that time has been receiving chemotherapy. Doctors say the internal bleeding was caused by her disease, multiple myeloma. Earlier this month, her attorney described Mrs. Mitchell in court papers as desperately ill, without funds, and without friends. She has been involved in a very long and bitter alimony dispute with her estranged husband, former Attorney General John Mitchell. Democratic presidential contenders Jimmy Carter, Jerry Brown, and Frank Church will spend at least part of Monday in Rhode Island, campaigning for Tuesday's primary there. Other states that hold primaries Tuesday are Montana and South Dakota, where Morris Udall has been concentrating his campaign efforts over the holiday weekend. President Ford took it rather easy Sunday at the White House, and Ronald Reagan stayed home in California. His campaign director says with increasing signs of Reagan support in Ohio, where there's to be a primary June the 8th, Reagan has decided to visit that state next weekend. But until that time, he will campaign in California, which also holds a June 8th primary. There are 59 Republican delegates at stake in Tuesday's primaries, 56 Democratic delegates. The June 8th primaries hold a sweeter pot, with over 300 Republican delegates at stake and over 500 Democratic delegates. President Ford is reportedly trying to organize a summit meeting where international problems would be discussed. CBS News has learned the emphasis would probably be on economic and defense matters, and that the other heads of government will not include communist bloc nations. The meeting, which may take place in either the Virgin Islands or Puerto Rico, would occur between the last presidential primary and the August Republican nominating convention. Officials deny suggestions that talk of this summit is related in any way to the all-out effort to keep President Ford ahead of Ronald Reagan. On Monday, negotiations in the Cod War between Britain and Iceland resume in Oslo, Norway. With a report on the British withdrawal from the restricted fishing zone, here is Bob Dyke in Bristol, England.
British naval frigates and civilian patrol vessels are reportedly steaming out of the disputed fishing zone off Iceland, leaving behind them the British fishing fleet, 42 trawlers, which have been asked to haul in their nets and await the outcome of talks in Oslo. The negotiating session was arranged during the NATO ministers' conference earlier this month. Although Britain and Iceland have severed diplomatic relations, they both belong to NATO. From sources in Reykjavik, it's understood that the Icelanders will demand heavy concessions from the British in exchange for an end of Icelandic Coast Guard attacks on British trawlers. Britain's fishing industry is opposed to the Icelandic terms, saying they could put up to 9,000 trawlermen and associated tradesmen out of work. But the British are reportedly willing to concede some of Iceland's terms as the price for ending the dispute, which has embarrassed the government and put a strain on NATO's northern flank. Bob Dyke for CBS News, Bristol.
Representative Wayne Hayes has scheduled a series of Memorial Day appearances Monday in his eastern Ohio home district. These will be his first public appearances since a former secretary ignited a scandal by charging that Hayes had put her on the payroll to be his mistress. The charges, which Hayes denies, are under investigation. Hayes says yes, he and Elizabeth Ray did have an affair, but no, he did not hire her for that purpose. Despite the scandal, Hayes is expected to win the support of his constituency in the Ohio primary election this Tuesday. Police sources in Buenos Aires report an army colonel named by the military government to oversee Argentina's large labor union federation has been kidnapped by left-wing guerrillas. They say Colonel Juan Pita was abducted while driving from the home of relatives near the port city of La Plata. Protestant extremists are warning of an immediate civil war in Northern Ireland if Roman Catholics strike back at Protestant vigilante patrols. One spokesman has pledged to shoot 10 Republicans, Catholics, for every patrol member or supporter killed while protecting Protestant lives and property from the outlawed Irish Republican Army. CBS News continues after this.
There's big horse racing excitement coming your way this Saturday, June 5th. It's the 108th running of the Belmont Stakes from Belmont Park in New York. It'll be anybody's race in the Mile and a Half Classic, and CBS Radio Sports Wynn Elliott will be on hand to bring you all the color of the thrilling event. And Ray Haight will be there, too, to call the race for you. Horse racing fans, listen for exclusive radio coverage of the Belmont Stakes with Win Elliott and Ray Haight this Saturday over most of these CBS Radio Network stations.
Coal mining, manufacturing, working in a sawmill, dangerous work, especially for kids. 17 occupations are off limits for those under 18. For more information, contact the nearest wage and hour office. Listed under U.S. Government, Department of Labor. This message has been brought to you as a public service by the U.S. Department of Labor and this station.
Philippine President Ferdinand Marcos is in the Soviet Union for an official visit that is expected to result in the establishment of relations between the countries. The Philippines is the last major Southeast Asian country without formal ties with Moscow. Before Marcos departed for the Soviet Union, he signed a decree restoring the city of Manila as the capital of the Philippines. Rita Sands, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The time, 11:06.
From KIXI, it's bright and beautiful music, 24 hours a day.